SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Your gut says Miami is going to win, and you should take the over. Your gut also said your NFT selfies would only go up in value. They didn't. But your head is on Sports Grid and knows the QB is in concussion protocol. The backup has a 45 QBR against the zone coverage. The New York D has the most sacks in the league. So yeah, trust your head. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid.
I kind of go back and forth with where all of this should land on the PGA Tour. I think individual 72 holes is what I really like for professional golf, for big time events.
Like, we're going to make this all about teams. We're going to have home games. And you know, that's going to be the focus of this competition. I don't think that works if you have guys that are still trying to play at the highest level on an individual front.
Only on Sports Grid.
Draisaitl could easily at plus money get the first goal, the second goal, the fourth goal. There's a few guys here. Maybe the prop betting market is not a bad way to look here.
Clippers over the map. If I would have told you that score before the game, knowing that Kawhi Leonard wasn't playing, I would have really figured it would have been the other way around. But the NBA is just crazy.
In-game live, all access, only on Sports Grid.
DraftKings making a progressive move, I think, that most other companies are also going to do or have done in the past. Adding someone from the government or someone you would say in legislation to become their responsible gaming leader here. And in this case, her name is Lori Kalani.
And it'll be interesting to see if other companies try to follow suit in terms of hiring former lobbyists to head responsible gaming.
Newswire, only on Sports Grid.
Your gut says Miami is going to win, and you should take the over. Your gut also said your NFT selfies would only go up in value. They didn't. But your head is on Sports Grid and knows the QB is in concussion protocol. The backup has a 45 QBR against the zone coverage. The New York D has the most sacks in the league. So yeah, trust your head. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid.
I kind of go back and forth with where all of this should land on the PGA Tour. I think individual 72 holes is what I really like for professional golf, for big time events.
Like, we're going to make this all about teams. We're going to have home games. And you know, that's going to be the focus of this competition. I don't think that works if you have guys that are still trying to play at the highest level on an individual front.
Only on Sports Grid.
Draisaitl could easily at plus money get the first goal, the second goal, the fourth goal. There's a few guys here. Maybe the prop betting market is not a bad way to look here.
Clippers over the map. If I would have told you that score before the game, knowing that Kawhi Leonard wasn't playing, I would have really figured it would have been the other way around. But the NBA is just crazy.
In-game live, all access, only on Sports Grid.
DraftKings making a progressive move, I think, that most other companies are also going to do or have done in the past. Adding someone from the government or someone you would say in legislation to become their responsible gaming leader here. And in this case, her name is Lori Kalani.
And it'll be interesting to see if other companies try to follow suit in terms of hiring former lobbyists to head responsible gaming.
Newswire, only on Sports Grid.
Your gut says Miami is going to win, and you should take the over. Your gut also said your NFT selfies would only go up in value. They didn't. But your head is on Sports Grid and knows the QB is in concussion protocol.
Torn knee and is sitting on the sidelines. So really, what are we doing here? But it is Jamal Murray who is going to be zeroed in on, and rightfully so. Jamal Murray has been atrocious in this series. And he has been wildly underwhelming in the playoffs. He has two great moments against the Lakers. Can't take those away from him. There is something about that Laker team that brings out the best in Jamal Murray. But Jamal is being hounded right now by the Timberwolves defense. Blame it on the calf if you want. It's not the point. It's the fact that Jamal Murray is nowhere near good enough right now. He's, what, the seventh or eighth best player based on performance so far in this series? And that might be generous. He's being comfortably outplayed by Karl Anthony Towns. Comfortably. We haven't even really talked about the fact that Rudy Gobert isn't there in game number two, and this game still sees Denver only score 80 points. 25 was their high mark for a single quarter in the game. Jamal Murray might be suspended for game three. It's tough to tell what's going to happen. But throwing the heat pack onto the court, followed up with a little money sign. The league doesn't like that. When you suggest their refs are on the take, not really a big fan of that. A fine is coming at minimum for Jamal Murray. And is he going to wake it up going to Minnesota? That's the problem with Denver. Is I would love to sit here and talk to you about the value on the defending champs. But they have the energy of a team that is eliminated. Not a team up against a real challenge. Not a team that's out of rhythm. A team that's out of it. A team that doesn't want to be here anymore. Remember when the Mavs, during their run to the title, eliminated the Lakers and Andrew Bynum with the flagrant foul as that series was coming to a conclusion? That's a foul that you only make when you know it's done and it doesn't matter anymore. A number, again, Jokic, Murray, Malone, all offering up that type of energy, but only two games in. And if the Nuggets are done, well, it's open season. Because I know Minnesota hasn't lost yet, but OKC or Dallas will feel incredibly live in that series. And OKC and Dallas is going to be a great one. To break down this game, one thing I found very interesting with the series is how much the regular season isn't really going to help us. Four games. One of those games was the regular season finale. Dallas played nobody. Of course, toss it out. The first game is one of the best games of the NBA season. Watch this in Atlantic City with some friends where the Mavs went on a 30-0 run. A 30-0 run and nearly pulled off the best comeback you will have ever seen. They lost. Kyrie didn't even play. There's one fully healthy game. Because the third game they play this year, Luka was out. Dallas still covered. The one fully healthy game. Dallas absolutely dog walk this team. 146, 111 at home. Now, P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford were still coming off of the bench. It was post-trades, but still not the best version of Dallas. These lines are not Thunder disrespect. It is acknowledging that the Mavericks, since they made all their moves, have been as good as anybody in basketball outside of Boston. It's that the Mavericks are as dangerous as any team left in the postseason. And a big question now in this series is SGA versus Luka. Because SGA over the past 2 years has taken a leap, and we know that. And we'll be getting first place votes for MVP. But we've seen Luka Doncic have this dance before. He's made a Western Conference Finals. The trust in Luka is legit. SGA has seen his points props drop with the postseason beginning. Lucas usually go the other direction and elevate. So who wins that head-to-head? We'll answer that question as well as Donovan Mitchell against Jason Tatum next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Star power. We have it right here in Dallas and OKC. One guy trying to hit a new level or establish himself, perhaps, in SGA. Because for SGA, back-to-back seasons, he will finish top five MVP. Last year, he finished top five. This year, he'll finish top three with first-place votes. Maybe an upset happens and he actually wins the award. It would be surprising, but you never know. It could be on the board. Luka will also finish top three. But Luka has been at this level longer. It's just the reality of it. But there are people who believe SGA is the better player. And if that's true in this series, Dallas is going to have an uphill battle. The Thunder are deep. Dallas has proven to be deeper than we would have ever imagined. Again, the deadline acquisitions have made a difference here. The defense has improved immensely. But when we look at this game, and we look at the props markets, and we look at the head-to-head for these guys, one simple thing that stands out to me are the expectations. Because Luka here, 32.5 points, is about what you expect from Luka. He might be battling through some injuries. Those are the kind of things that usually only rear its head when things are going south. Think Joel Embiid, right? We didn't talk about Embiid being injured after the 50-point game. We talk about it when he goes sub-20. But as long as Luka has it going, he'll be fine. The three-point shot was lackluster in the series against the Clippers. That would be the identifiable bounce-back area. For SGA, 27-8 in the series, and ultimately a 28.5 points prop, it's underneath what we were betting in the regular season. Is that a playoff number? Is it an overreaction to what we saw in a Pelican series? Time will tell. The SGA market, though, that has value tonight is the steals market. Over 1.5, minus 118 juice, willing to pay it, no questions asked. If you take a look, when SGA in the regular season played 37 or more minutes, 17-game sample size, 15-2 on a 1.5 steals prop. This is fantastic here. Again, one of the reasons that SGA was really able to break out was not just the 30 a night, but it was the defensive abilities. We talked the best two-way guys in the league, and SGA is in that conversation, and you'll see it a little bit tonight, over 1.5 steals. I'm also taking Chet Holmgren over 1.5 made threes for OKC. His volume really upticked as the playoffs began. So those are the two picks that I'm going with tonight. SGA over 1.5 steals, as well as over 1.5 made threes for Chet Holmgren. Now, Donovan Mitchell against Jason Tatum. I've been alluding to this battle, this head-to-head, since we knew Boston was getting through Miami. Because the world where Donovan Mitchell outplays Jason Tatum is on the board. And if you compare their round one statistics, you can see why I would suggest that. And it's not just that Donovan Mitchell, by the end of it, had a really great series against Orlando. The 28 a game, the 89 points over the final two to close out the Orlando Magic. It's Jason Tatum giving you 21, 22 a game inefficiently against Miami. It's not good enough. Tatum has to be better if this team is going to win a championship. He didn't have to be better in order for this team to eliminate the Miami Heat. But that was also because they got Derek White's probable best series of his career. The efficiency, the 22 a game, outrageous. JB was also really good. And again, Miami was missing their best player. It's interesting to see, though, the markets do believe that at least statistically, offensively, if you want, the series' best player will be Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell booked in front of Jason Tatum to lead the series in points and lead this series in made threes. The favorite in that market, as I mentioned, though, it is Derek White, and that is the fade target for me. I'm on Tatum, plus 400 to lead this series in total made threes. I want a longer shot at a starting point here for game one. I don't need to bet Tatum to lead this game in threes. He is. If Tatum is who we all think he is, he will have a huge breakout game at some point from beyond the arc. 7-8 made threes. He's that type of player. He's shown it in the past. He should show it here against Cleveland. His points prop tonight at 27.5, 28.5, it is tempting. He scored 16 in the closeout against Miami, and Tatum very regularly will bounce back after going sub-20 in the playoffs. I just couldn't get there. Not in game number one. What I could get to was the Cavs plus 12.5. Three meetings in the regular season. Home team won all three. Now, the third game was in Cleveland. It was a one-point victory. It was a one-point victory for the Cavs. It was comeback fashion, but it was without Donovan Mitchell, which is incredibly impressive. Perhaps a sleepy spot for the Celts, but they did blow a big lead. I'm willing to take a team that, again, covered all three regular season meetings and could still carry a little bit of the momentum that which they had in winning a Game 7 against the Orlando Magic. Rest, rust, we do these things all the time. 12.5 is a ton of points. That's what that comes down to. It's a ton of points, and I do think the Cavs can stay inside that number. But big picture, Eastern Conference, the Celtics are supposed to run away with this. We watched Knicks-Pacers last night. A fun start to this series. 47 minutes of awesome basketball, 115 apiece. And then a final 60 seconds of a complete ref show that left a bad taste in anybody's mouth outside of Knicks fans. That's the reality of it. But I will say, as I watched Knicks-Pacers, man, it is really difficult to believe that either one of those teams can give Boston a true challenge. Just hard to see either team feeling deep enough with the Knicks. And again, I know guys stepped up. I know that. But Brunson is having to carry such a load. And for the Pacers, their star, injured or not, completely unacceptable. Tyrese Haliburton with 6 points, zero in the second half, hardly shot the basketball. If he's not healthy, then don't play him. Carlisle had a moment last night where he could have made a tough decision and pulled Haliburton for TJ McConnell. And if he made that decision, the Pacers probably win game number one in Madison Square Garden. Instead, they're now 3-1 to win the series against the New York Knicks. Can't wait to break down that second game when we get an updated total, because the one big takeaway was how it flew through the number to open up that series. We'll talk hockey, we'll talk baseball next, right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid. A lot of great stuff coming up. We're going to talk to Tom Vecchio, put some Dinger Tuesday picks on the board. Plus, he has action in both the NBA and the NHL playoffs. We'll talk to Raheem Palmer as well, get his thoughts with everything happening in the NBA playoffs. Joe Maddon helping us set the board for the ice tonight, as well as Coach James Young and Dave Sharapan in hour number two. We're loaded right here on Game Time Decisions. Speaking of loaded, my oh my. 15-8 in Oakland right now. Shout out to anybody who played the over in this game with the Rangers and the Athletics. Guardians-Tigers is underway. Of course, the MLB Play of the Day and two Dinger Tuesday picks at minimum. I will be in the mix on here for this Tuesday, but I have to talk some ice. I mean, first of all, hockey guy. I mean, that's well established. But it's been fun. Part of the fun is a little mini heater, which, of course, going on a heater in hockey as opposed to other sports, it makes all the sense in the world. But yesterday's Bruins-Panthers, on air, I probably have now really established the guy. And Dave and I will talk about this, consig in hour number two, but that is the game around the guy. So shout out to the Panthers are going to wax him. Thoughts as the Bruins just embarrassed Florida yesterday. Now, looking at today's board, the Rangers and the Hurricanes will go again. The lean for me is the Rangers. I know everybody loves this Carolina team. I get that. We'll talk more about this with both Tom Vecchio and Joe Maddon. But I think everybody, from what I saw from the prices, the thought process was Hurricanes take the first game, protect home ice. Well, then they lost the first game, so it's, all right, well, now they got to take the second game. And you just keep pricing it like, oh, there's no way. But think Nuggets-Timberwolves, right? Denver was a bigger favorite in game two than game one. Part of that Gobert being absent, but part of that is Denver's not going down 2-0. The difference is Denver is home. The Rangers are home. It does feel like disrespect. I do think the Carolina backers probably say, if the Canes can stay out of the power play, then the Rangers might have a little bit more difficulty scoring, and maybe that's why this under at 5.5 has juice to minus 128. I don't love this game. I didn't have a good enough feel. If you made me bet it, I'm betting Rangers. You can't make me bet it. I'm excited to watch it, though. Stars-Avs, I'm excited for this one. Now, I wanted to zigzag on the people, right? Because here's what happened. A lot of people love the Florida Panthers. Why? Well, I mean, come on now. Boston's going to be so dead after their long, long series. Now all of a sudden we get Stars-Avs. So people go, oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Coming off of a game seven's good. Dallas should kill this team. Well, hold on a minute. Stars are favored at home, and again, Colorado was tempting to me. The Avs had a very interesting round one. They had maybe the game of the first round, at least, I mean, as far as juice goes, right? That 7-6 opener against Winnipeg that they lost. They then won four in a row. Kind of under the radar, it felt like, that Colorado performance against the Jets. I'm interested in the Avs here, but I'm going to trust their defense because that is, again, the spot to me that went just a little bit under the radar in that series. The 6.5 total is something that is born out of Colorado being on the ice now. But again, the Colorado defense, after that opening game where they gave up 7, allowed 2 goals, 1, and 3 to Winnipeg. The Stars only went over 3.5 once in the whole series against the Vegas Golden Knights. It's expensive. It's minus 140, but it's fine by me. I'm on the Stars team total under 3.5. If they want to win this thing, I think it's going to be low scoring. And if the Avs are able to crack them and jump on them, then this could be 6-3 Colorado. That's why I'm not playing an under overall on that 6.5. I'm on a Stars team total under right now, checking in at minus 140. I will tell people this. Spoke with Donnie Wrightside today on Moneyline. First of all, tweet him at WrightsideVP. Give me Dinger Tuesday picks. I love Donnie. He is the best home run handicapper in the planet, and he doesn't even know it sometimes. He should be sending out full cards of home run picks every Tuesday. He should really be doing it every day. But I asked him, hey, DRS, weather games today. And he said we had some good weather in a few spots. Cubs Padres, Royals Brewers, Nats Cubs, Nats Orioles, Phillies Blue Jays, and Cardinals Mets. So a few spots where the wind, the weather, it lines up, and we could see some long balls in those games. Again, I'll put the MLB play of the day as well as my Dinger Tuesday picks on the board in a bit. But we're going to get some juice from Tom Vecchio in the mix coming up next right here on Sports Grid. And not just Dinger Tuesday, but we've got NHL playoffs and NBA playoffs. The guy does it all. Back quickly next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions live on SportsGrid on this Tuesday. And in the mix, one and only Tom Vecchio. Tom, great to talk to you here. We have so much to get to. We'll start this off baseball style because there's a lot of games that are going to have the first pitch probably within the next 10 or 15 minutes here. It is Dinger Tuesday. Again, if anybody doesn't know the process, Tom's explained it many times. Just trust that process. Who do you like for a home run here on the baseball board, Tom?
Yeah, let's get started early. One of the games that's starting soon would be the Orioles. I like Gunnar Henderson for them. Obviously, he's elite. You know, he's going to be an MVP candidate, I think, year in and year out. Going up against Trevor Williams, just not a good pitcher. I think we've been going there. Ryan Jeffers for the Twins. Got a little bit of wind blowing out to left field. He's going up against Emerson Hancock for Seattle, a pitcher that only has 31.1 innings sample size over this year and last. He's a fly ball pitcher. Jeffers has a legit power. But my favorite pick for tonight is going to be Mookie Betts at plus 460 for home run. You also can grab his RBI at plus 160. Jeffers' RBI is plus 170. Betts, obviously fantastic. He hasn't hit home run in, you know, a number of games, which I certainly like. And a plus 460 number for Mookie Betts is a spot that we don't often get. 465 WOBA, but 239 ISO, 51.3% fly ball rate. Going up against Edward Cabrera last year, led a 419 slugging to righties, along with a 34.5% fly ball rate and a 36.3% hard contact rate. It's a great spot for Mookie. Anytime you can get him at close to 5-1, we just kind of roll with it.
Let me ask you this question with Mookie Betts. As today I was talking to someone about the race for MVP. Oh, by the way, sorry, quickly for people. Rudy Gobert just did win Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. That news did just come down. I know some people were sweating out some Wemby bets, hoping that they could snag one there. Again, they won less than 20 games. It's fine. But I actually want to ask you about another award, which is the NL MVP. Mookie Betts right now plus 150, Ohtani plus 450. If you just stare at the back of the baseball card, right, it's Ohtani, but he's a DH. Right. He's above replacement right now. Mookie Betts has a decent gap, and some of that is because he's actually able to add points through his defense. And Ohtani is not. What do you think of the gap that's there right now between Mookie and Ohtani?
I think it's a little bit much. I wouldn't be surprised to see over the next couple weeks, especially if Ohtani stays this hot, if that number drops to 3-1, 2.5-1. I think that's where we're probably going to be for most of the season. Acuña really isn't off to as an electric of a start as, you know, I anticipated.
Yeah.
But again, he's always a player that could go for that 30-60 kind of mark with 60 stolen bases, as we saw, you know, last year mm-hmm. with whatever he had. So he's a player I'll always have interest in. You know, you want to take a longer shot on someone like Ellie De La Cruz, that's fine just because, you know, he can have a very high ceiling. Also, he's kind of getting the strikeouts under control this year, which really could help him in the long run. But I think mm-hmm. the numbers are fine right now. I don't have a whole lot of interest in MVP market in baseball. I think there's too much minutia at the end of the day.
I think it's such a long season that if you have to be so confident that a guy's not going to get injured, and Mookie's too short for me to have that confidence, and I don't have that confidence that Ohtani won't get injured,
right,
to be willing to bet him. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. Let's talk some hockey. Look, the NHL playoffs have been catching people's attention. I will say I don't know the TV ratings. I don't know if they're way up. But I know people I talk to are more invested, and not just locally, because the Rangers are doing well. People are, hey, Stars, you know, Knights, all that. People are loving the hockey. Bruins, Panthers yesterday, two games on the ice tonight. What's catching your attention?
That's going to the Carolina Hurricanes. Sebastian Aho, their top line center, over 2.5 shots on goal. It was at minus 102 yesterday. It's all the way at minus 130 now. You know, over the past few seasons, when it comes to the Canes, they've always been one of the best in the league when it comes to total shot attempts created per 60 minutes. You know, total shot attempts lead to a lot of shots on goal. I like factoring in that they're down. Like, I like looking at teams that are down because they have to have a push on offense. And I bring up the shots because they had 25 in the entire game. They outshot the Rangers 25-3. But more importantly, they only had 12 shots on goal over the first two periods. So, yeah, they pushed at the end for get some extra shots because they were trailing. But, you know, six shots on goal for this good of an offensive team just simply isn't enough. And now, again, they're down 0-1. They got to step it up. So I like taking teams that are down. I also like to take goalies on teams against teams that are facing elimination. So if we get to a point and the team's up 3-1, I want to take that goalie, their save prop, because the other team, they have to push on offense. If the goalie hits the under, the opposing team who's going to be eliminated isn't doing enough on offense. So we can find some correlation in some of these markets at this point in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Something to keep in the back pocket as these series are going to extend. Do you feel the Rangers are being disrespected at all on this line? I sometimes think maybe we throw that phrase around too willy-nilly, but like, what do you make of the number with the Rangers and the Canes tonight?
I think it's a fine number. I know people are, you know, factoring in Tom Ice, the Rangers, when the presence, all these things. The Canes are a really good team. Like, they're one of the favorites for a reason. They've been one of the favorites for the past few seasons. They won the division the past 2 years. They are a really good team. They are really deep. You can make the argument that they have a better bottom six compared to the Rangers. They deserve the credit. Should it be as, you know, drastic as it is, should the Rangers just be minus 110 on both sides? I wouldn't be surprised if that's where it ends up in some of these games, but I think it's fine where it is.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because I don't know, and this is where sometimes I know I'm coming in with less information, right? But the team with the most points is at home and is a dog. It's always going to catch your eye, right? And I think that's kind of what people are seeing there. NBA-wise, tonight we've got two games as well, Tom, and the Celtics are laying double digits, which has been the case in nearly every game they've played so far this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to be seeing from them maybe until the conference finals, probably not until the NBA finals. It's going to be super close. I'm looking at the first round, and, you know, Tatum did, like, a pretty modest amount of scoring. Granted, it's not like he played bad. He just didn't have to, just because a lot of those games were blowouts for the Celtics. So when I'm looking at the series versus the Cavs, again, a 12.5 point spread, I'm actually liking Tatum over 13.5 rebounds plus assists. He's averaging 10-5 in the first series, and I think that's going to continue, especially if we see – you know, some good rebounding effort from him with no Porzingis and realistically a good defensive and rebounding team from the Cavs on the other side. So I don't want the points. I don't want the PRA. I want the rebounds plus assists over 13.5.
Listen, I think Tatum is in for a really interesting series. In the opening series, he was certainly not their best player, and it didn't matter.
Right.
And the reality with the Celtics is it might not matter. But Tatum has been a part of this conversation for years now. And the idea is, hey, when Boston breaks through, it's because Tatum breaks through. That was always the thought. And I am curious if at any point Tatum looks to take over. And will that be to the benefit or the detriment of Boston? Because Donovan Mitchell outplaying Tatum in this series is incredibly on the board, Tom, but maybe it doesn't matter.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Like, I mean, you just look at it just from, like you said, you know, back of the baseball card kind of stats. Like, Tatum wasn't even the second highest scorer. He was the third highest scorer because Brown and Derek White. So, you know, maybe we see him elevated just – and again, like I said, he didn't score a lot because they didn't need to. They're up by, you know, 20 in some of these games. He doesn't have to push for 40 points. No, depending on what we see from Mitchell, obviously I think that's going to be the key cog in this series is if he can put up these 35, 40-point games, Tatum then has to respond. And that's where we'll see these ceiling games from. That's where we'll see him break through. But, you know, sometimes he doesn't need to just because everyone else is hot and everyone's going to hit 2 threes per game apparently for the Celtics.
Yeah. Before we let you get out of here, Knicks Pacers, I mean, the refs, I thought, made themselves the story of the game, unfortunately, in the final minute. What did you take away from that first game?
You know, kind of what I expected. You know, I hate seeing games come down to that, but ultimately teams, if they operated better, you just don't leave it in the refs' hands. And if a team was up by 10 points and were better on defense, then you take that away from the refs. You know, I would look towards probably a Halliburton combined prop. He has to play better compared to what he did. And then it's got to be someone else from the Knicks scoring. Like, it can't be Brunson this whole time because when he's off the court, their offense does not look good. So someone else stepping up to fill in the points when he's gone.
It'll be interesting because the Pacers defense is atrocious. And the prop for Brunson in game one, I think, was 36.5. It probably goes up going into game two. I mean, are we going to get 38.5, 39.5 for Jalen Brunson? It's going to be a really, really interesting series to watch play out. Tom, excellent stuff, as always, in the mix. Coming up next, right here on Game Time Decisions, we'll talk to Raheem Palmer about two games tonight in the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on SportsGrid, I'm Kevin Walsh, joined now by Raheem Palmer, who you can catch over at The Ringer, doing incredible, incredible work. Raheem, excited to talk some basketball here on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, the NBA postseason is one of my favorite times of the year, so it's a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I think it is it's probably smart to start with tonight's games because we might get a little bit lost in some of the things we saw last night. With the Celtics and the Cavs, 12.5, to me, I get why it's the number. Cleveland did cover three of those games, all three of those games in the regular season. But you've told people that there's some trends against these teams that play in a game seven and what that looks like going into the next round. So what do you think about the Cavs' chances in Boston tonight?
I don't like the Cavs' chances in Boston tonight. When you look at these teams who come off of game seven, they are 33-54, 37% in game one straight up in the following series since 1988. And then obviously we all know the trends with the teams who win game one, they win around 70% of the time. So if you look at teams that win a game seven, they're just 36-51, 41% in the following series altogether after coming off of game seven. I think a lot of times what it is that, you know, you play that game seven, you're tired, you spend all this energy trying to survive, and then you got 1 or 2 days off, and then you got to take on another team, and then you don't have time to game plan. It's just a big come down effect. So I think that has a huge impact.
Yeah, and I look, Cleveland was kind of up against it already coming in. It's reflected in the series spread, right? To plus 2.5 games was plus money. You could, you know, some people are going to look for the sweep here, which again is, it's very interesting because the Cavs have themselves a really nice starting five. Donovan Mitchell's a top, call it 15 guy. Garland and Allen have made all-star teams, and you have Evan Mobley, who people think could still be one of the more, you know, promising young guys in the league. There's questions around, does this all mesh, and is Bickerstaff getting the most out of this bunch? The thing is, Raheem, the clock is ticking on that. I know Cavs fans hate that a part of all their game breakdowns are, hey, when is Donovan Mitchell going to leave? But it's a part of it until he signs the extension, and how they hang in this series is going to matter with their long-term outlook.
Yeah, it definitely matters. I mean, I think the worst kept secret in the league is that Donovan Mitchell wants out. So that's hanging a black cloud over anything that they do. Now, when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're talking about a team who tanked to get the Orlando Magic, and they were down 18 at home. So this is a team that, when you look at their offensive rating, they only scored just above a point per possession against the Orlando Magic. Now you got to take on a Boston Celtics team who is just as good defensively, but they're even better offensively. So they're just in a bad spot. Now, the one thing I will say is that we know this Celtics team likes to play around. So I can't recommend a sweep, because there's nothing that we've seen from this Celtics team during the Tatum and Brown era that tells you that they take care of business. So I think, you know, this is a team who, if I had to place a bet on how long this series goes, I would say Celtics in five. But I just think they play around so much that I can't bet the sweep. But you look at a guy like Darius Garland, he's been struggling. I mean, against the Orlando Magic, he only averaged 14 points on 44% from the field. And things aren't going to get better when you have to take on a team full of wings with, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White. Where is the rest in place for this guy? So you look at the fact that Jared Allen is out. Evan Mobley, he's solid, but he needs to get in the weight room. So I just think the Cavs are just drawing dead in this series.
Yeah, again, it's more than understandable. Game two tonight is the opening of OKC and Dallas. And look, to some degree, these teams are licking their chops. Anybody who has futures on either one are licking their chops, because, you know, the big bad wolf of the West is now the Wolves, and it's not the Denver Nuggets. What do you think about this Luka SGA battle we've got on our hands here in Oklahoma City?
I think this series is severely mispriced. If you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, you saw as low as -106. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they have a top five offense, a top five defense. The only reason why this price is what it is because of the perception of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, which is, you know, I mean, they're at the top of their game, but Luka's a little banged up. Yeah. They lost Maxi Kleber, which is, you know, that's a significant loss. I don't think people realize how significant that loss is, because he's a guy who can stretch the floor. So now you're playing PJ Washington, and you don't know what you're going to get from him on the perimeter as far as scoring. I think Oklahoma City, they have a guy in Luke Dort who they can throw at Luka Doncic. Like, I like Oklahoma City. I took them to win this series at -115. I think they're going to win game one at -3.5. I think this line should be around 5 or 6 when you consider what home court advantage is worth in the NBA postseason. And obviously, when you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, they do have some weaknesses. Obviously, they're weak inside. But is this Dallas Mavericks team really built to, you know, take advantage of their weaknesses? It's not like you're talking about the Denver Nuggets or the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have, you know, bigs. So I like Oklahoma City in game one, and I like them for the series.
If OKC does get through this series and meets up with Minnesota, which the odds are expecting, the Thunder will have home court. You think OKC will be booked as the favorite in that series?
No, they will not. Not at all. I think Minnesota will be the favorite. I mean, if you look at this line already, Dallas was opened up as the favorite. So if Dallas is opening up as the favorite, and Minnesota is just, I mean, they're taking the Denver Nuggets into the deep waters and drowning them, there's no way Oklahoma City is going to be a favorite, even with home court.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Especially if the OKC series, even if they win, if it goes 6 or 7, right, and Minnesota gets Denver out of here, could be a sweep in short order. We'll see. Time will tell. Raheem, we'll get into it all, I'm sure. Once again, appreciate your time here on a Tuesday night, and best of luck with your action here on this Tuesday.
Thanks for having me. One thing I will say before we get out of here, Oklahoma City, 12th amongst playoff teams in defensive rebounding rate. So that's going to be big for the following series.
All right, we'll keep our eye on that, no doubt about it. Maybe Gafford, Lively props tonight in game one if the rebounding could be an issue. Again, great stuff there from Raheem Palmer. We're going to go to the NHL playoffs next as Joe Maddon gets set to join us here on Game Time Decisions. We are going to be dropping that puck at Madison Square Garden shortly with the Rangers and the Hurricanes as New York tries to go up 2-0 in this series and protect home ice. Can they do it? We'll answer that on the other side. We're live with you on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're making it happen. We're live with you on this Tuesday. Baseball picks are in. We'll get to those in a little bit. Don't you worry about it. The ice is going to be on fire tonight. Two great games. Couldn't break it down without Joe Maddon. Joe, we begin in the Garden. Knicks, not Knicks. Can't help myself. Rangers, Hurricanes. What do you like here in game two?
This is going to be a fantastic game. Firstly, I have to say congratulations on the Boston Bruins last night, Kevin. You absolutely nailed that one. I didn't expect them to come out so strong. Looking at one here, the New York Rangers, how are they getting so disrespected? They're at home in the Garden, and they're still the underdog versus the Carolina Hurricanes. They won that last game, game one, 4-3, and I know the Canes had a push in that third period, but this is typical of the Carolina Hurricanes. You look at them over the playoffs so far, they've outscored their opponents 12-2 in the third period, and I do expect them to have another strong third period in this one. But the Rangers, I can't say no to at the price. They're coming in now plus 102 on that money line, and I think they can get it done at home. Now, overtime, I think, is in play in this one at plus 330. And, Kevin, I talked about the third period for the Carolina Hurricanes. I think this is a play where you look, if they're trailing by at least two goals going into that third, you take them on that puck line plus 1.5 because they're going to push in that third period.
Listen, I think what we saw in game number one was the Rangers take advantage of that power play in a major way, Joe. So the only concern, and you can speak to this better than I can, though, is do they need the power play to score? Because I've noticed the juice on this total's been dropping. It feels like people think that it's Canes and under tonight, just based on the market, Joe.
Yeah, and I can see that. I see why people like it, but I think everyone's giving way more respect to the Carolina Hurricanes, and I understand there's been 8 power play goals here for the New York Rangers in 5 games, but not all of their goals have come on that power play. They're just phenomenally elite on that power play, and the Carolina Hurricanes aren't doing themselves any favors. They will find themselves in the box. These two teams are hard-hitting out there, and those penalties will come. So I do think the Rangers have the upper hand. I think, though, if you're looking at the Rangers, you would be leaning for this one to go over that total because of the push that we'll see out of Carolina in that third period to try to make that comeback. 5.5 just seems so light. So unless Frederik Andersen completely stands on his head, which we saw some of those pucks go right through his 5-hole in that last game, I just don't see the Carolina Hurricanes being able to get the win here. And no one's accounting for how strong Igor Shesterkin is out there on the ice. He played the much better game in that last game, and I expect him to come out again hot at home.
Awesome. All right, Joe, talk to me now. Game number two. This is the game I'm on tonight, and that is Avs Stars. I have a team total for Dallas under 3.5. You think there could be some scoring in this game tonight, though. So what are you seeing here with Colorado and Dallas?
I'm looking at this one, and I have to go back to the series between Colorado and the Winnipeg Jets. I do think the Winnipeg Jets have a much better defense here than the Dallas Stars, and I know that's going to be unpopular, but what Colorado was able to do to Winnipeg, forcing them to play their style of game and not allowing Winnipeg to play theirs, was a huge light bulb for me because Colorado, if they force the Dallas Stars into that same game, they're going to be able to score, and they're going to be able to score fast on Jake Oettinger. It's a nice matchup here for Colorado. They like to play that fast game. The Dallas Stars don't. So Dallas is going to try to slow them down. I just don't see it happening in this one. So give me the over 6.5. I do think the goals are coming, and by both of these teams. Cale Makar was so phenomenally strong in the first round of the playoffs, and so was every member of the Colorado Avalanche, just peppering the goaltenders with shots on goal. I'm looking for Cale Makar to go over his 4+ shots on goal. We're getting great plus money at plus 158. And then on the other side of the puck, Wyatt Johnston, he's been absolutely unstoppable out there for the Dallas Stars. If it wasn't for him, I don't think they would have got past Vegas. I'm looking at him for the anytime goal. That's coming in at plus 170. I think we got fireworks to start this one. Colorado off of rest comes out nice and strong, Kevin. I'm not worried about them. They're going to come out on fire tonight.
And I will say this, with my Stars team total under, the reason I am not on the full game under is I can see Colorado scoring 6. I think what the Avs did in that opening round, Joe, has been is being under discussed. They lost the first game. It was wild. It was 7-6, and then they just rolled Winnipeg in the next four games. I thought it was incredibly impressive. Joe, anything baseball-wise that people should know about tonight?
There's tons baseball-wise, Kevin. Always loving the baseball. The Angels and the Pirates, I'm taking Sandoval over 5.5 strikeouts. And the Toronto Blue Jays, first five money line coming in at -102, with Barrios getting the start there.
Absolutely, pitching advantage for Barrios on the mound with Toronto. Joe, great stuff. As always, Coach James Young is up next.